Hey, Chris.
Yes, Brian?
I just bought a Jeff Bridges chainsaw.
You did?
Yeah, let me start it up for you. Hold on. It's a little cold. It'll take a second.
Oh, man. Witches be hating that, yo.
Witch, please.
We're talking about Seventh Son, the latest epic fantasy film directed by a Russian director, Sergei Bodrov?
Apparently, he directed a movie about Genghis Khan.
Yeah, that I did, in fact, hear was really good.
Yeah,
it is
I'm
good.
Sure,
I've
I'm
seen
sure it,
it
is
it's
good.
Phenomenal.
I have never seen it.
This is an adaptation of a novel called The Spook's Apprentice.
You can understand why they changed the title.
Yeah, that term took on different meaning, you know, like 70 years ago.
I was going to say, you can't even say that, like, it was a different meaning when the book was written. It's like, no, it's set
really
in ancient times.
Wasn't.
It wasn't written in ancient times.
Yeah, Seventh Son is definitely a better title. Besides, isn't there already, like, two movies at least with the Something's Apprentice in the title?
Well, but here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Is there's 100 movies with the Seventh Something, you know, the Seventh Sign,
That's true.
Seventh Seal, the Seventh Eleventh, like, there's a lot of stuff.
Well, they figured the seventh son of a seventh son was too long.
So the seventh son of a sailor man.
It's because, like, everybody likes a prime number.
That's true. They should just, like, seven with, like, a little, like, squared symbol of seven next to it.
Ooh, David Fincher's seventh son of seven.
Anyway, we are the Unusual Suspects. I'm Chris.
Diva.
And Brian.
And we're going to review this bitch. Oh, this witch.
We're going to review this. We're all up in this witch.
This is the latest film trying to make Ben Barnes into the young, attractive action hero that America can't stand to live without.
Hey, genuflect when you speak of Prince Caspian.
Well.
No, don't, because movies are
I'm
very good.
I'm not going to do that. I think Ben Barnes is charming and charismatic, but I'll be damned if it shines through very well when you have Jeff Bridges chewing every bit of scenery inside around him,
dominating
every bit of dialogue and screen time the two of them have together.
Yeah.
Which, as it turns out, isn't really a bad thing for this movie.
No, not at all. In fact, everyone besides Ben Barnes seems to be chewing scenery. Julianne Moore is really kind of charming as the villain because she's so just, like, grandiose. And it's like, she plays this role as if she were a man in drag. Like, with that level of just, like, over-the-top, grandiose glamour.
If only Divine was still alive to have played this role.
Right? I'm not saying she looks like a man. She's beautiful in this movie.
Of course.
I'm just saying she plays this role with the sort of over-the-top grandeur of a drag queen.
I'm actually going to disagree. I think she actually underplays it a little bit. It just feels so natural when it comes out of her, I have to say.
Maybe that's just how she is.
Yeah, she just has this ability to think Wicked is cool. Like, you really like her in this role, I think. And I do agree that Jeff Bridges and her are the best things in this movie.
Well, yeah, they're the old hands at doing this type of thing and come in and are just like, out of the way, kids, let us show you how it's done. In fact, here he plays the old hand, a spook, as it were, which is basically a last remaining member of an order of knights who were, like, the ultimate, like, black ops knights against the darkness.
Yeah.
All the rest are dead, and their deal is they've got to take apprentices who by default have to be the seventh son of a seventh son. I'm starting to see why you guys are running out of knights here. That's very specific requirement.
And that's really hard to do as a woman.
Right?
I mean, what if you have a daughter? That means you have to keep going till you get to seven sons.
Yeah, so you
get,
you know, 18, 19 children before you get there.
Wait, so you're saying if the seventh kid is a daughter, you have to start all over?
No, so, like, if you have four sons and two daughters, you're still three away.
Oh, I see.
And boys. And you might have girls. So you're
No.
Fair enough. So early on, we see that one of Jeff Bridges' character, John Gregory, one of his greatest nemeses that he had long since chained up under the ground, has freed herself, and it is indeed Julianne Moore as Mother Malkin, a witch who can turn into a giant dragon and is kind of a badass. And she's back and wants revenge, and she's going to tear up the earth and people and stuff, and she even, just to be a bitch, kills Kit Harington just for the fuck of it, pretty much.
Yeah.
Who shows up just long enough to go, I was in Game of Thrones!
You get no screen time, Jon Snow.
We saw what happened in Pompeii.
Yeah, no, you just stay with it.
To the death scene you go! But Jeff Bridges has to go out and find another apprentice, so he ends up finding...
He's going
to
need another Timmy!
Yes. He ends up finding Ben Barnes as the young Tom Ward, who is indeed the seventh son of a seventh son.
And his mother, before he goes, gives him a red shirt. A red pendant.
A red pendant, yes. And that, of course, will not be important in any way later in the film.
Nope!
No, that is not a MacGuffin of a pendant.
Just pretend I didn't mention it.
And so they go out trying to find... Julianne Moore's character to slay her, only for Ben Barnes to discover that maybe everything in the world of, like, witches and demons and ogres and what have you isn't as black and white as one might
imagine. Julianne Moore's amazing dress.
Yeah, right?
With the black and
white. It's kind of nice. Yeah.
I feel like she should have. Maybe I'm the drag queen. Maybe that's what it is.
She should have worn that to the Oscars.
Yes, that would have been amazing.
Anyway, maybe she will this year.
Maybe she will. Knock on wood.
But you... They introduce a young character who's a young witch, and she's making eyes at Ben Barnes, and he's making eyes at her, and so it's like, okay, well, maybe all witches aren't evil because this one's sexy and young.
I was going to say,
Make a little more than eyes.
A little more than eyes, that's true.
I was going to say it'd be like Romeo and Juliet if both Romeo and Juliet were kind of stupid, and then I realized I've read Romeo and Juliet, they were both kind of stupid. That's true. It's exactly like Romeo and Juliet.
Kind of the point of Romeo and Juliet.
Star-crossed, more like dummies.
But I think one of the advantages of this film is there's a lot of like character actors and monsters who they give personalities to who really liven up the whole thing, that bring in a lot of color that you wouldn't necessarily expect with a sort of basically a Krull or Lady Hawk 80s type fantasy film.
No, it definitely has that feel of like the throwback sword and sandal type movies of the 80s that I like even when they're bad. I mean, like, the movie Sorceress is fucking awful.
It's not good.
But it's so entertaining in its absurdity and in its, like, hodgepodge of creatures and things. And I feel like that's kind of the same thing here. And I think what benefits this movie a lot is one of two things is happening. Either they're using a lot of practical work, or their digital effects, their CG, is so good that it looks like practical work. Like, you think about the character Tusk. And the guy who's the king of swords, like watching that guy fight was amazing. Because I was like, that's got to be practical.
The guy's
right?
got multiple arms and fighting dudes behind his back and a bunch of guys at once. I mean, that's the thing. There's little clever effects things throughout this.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a guy, Jimon Hansu, can turn into this badass dragon dude, but with arms, and then he's got axe handles on the ends of chains that he uses. Whoa, he's a fucking dragon!
Yeah.
How cool is that?
This movie was written by a sugared up 12-year-old, and there is nothing wrong with
There's
that, I don't
think.
There's
nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, I was actually very impressed with both the quality of the effects and the amount of creativity that went into designing them.
Yeah, I think if I had a complaint with this movie, and I know this is going to sound like sacrilege after we completely decimated Pompeii worse than Vesuvius actually decimated Pompeii.
Indeed.
I would have liked to have seen a switch in cast. I would have liked to have seen Ben Barnes be the apprentice that gets killed off early. And Kit Harington. Because they actually had a really strong chemistry in their brief few moments at the beginning of the movie. And I felt like Ben Barnes, like, is trying, don't get me wrong, but just doesn't quite... He can't quite play on the same level as Jeff Bridges. Whereas I felt like Kit Harington, even though he was on screen briefly, was able to keep up with him and form kind of a comedic repartee that worked for me. And I was like, oh man, why'd you kill him off? Kill the other one!
I completely agree with that, actually. I think that would have been a much better movie. I personally did not like this movie much at all.
Oh, okay.
I know. It's so funny because I'm listening to you guys. I'm like, you're being so forgiving to this movie, but yesterday's movie, did not get the same treatment.
Yeah.
They're different things.
Completely different things. I feel that there's a lot being forgiven in this one that shouldn't be. I mean, it's crazy formulaic, which I actually like about movies, but I didn't grab a hold of anyone. In this movie, I couldn't relate to anyone except for the sisters, only because I have a sister, I think, and I get that whole partnership and leadership thing. But to be honest with you, I don't know. I couldn't grab onto anything other than wardrobe, great makeup, and visual effects.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think
the love story even was just.
No, I will give you the love story was forced.
I mean, all right. So
but it usually is in this case.
I mean, the simplicity
situation.
Of this story in this case and the familiarity of it, I think, is helpful in the sense that it turns it around a bit with the sort of like, okay, maybe everything's not as black and white, good and evil as you think. I mean, I even really like the way it comes to a conclusion, bringing all of that into it, bringing all these characters who are not 100% evil or 100% good, what have you. I like that. Other than that, it is kind of playing by the numbers of fantasy. Certainly, a given. That's not always a bad thing. And yes, Ben Barnes is almost a cipher in right. how little personality that he's given. It's not even the poor guy's fault. We've seen him be really good in things. And here, they just... He doesn't have any good dialogue written for him. Like, yeah. they don't give him anything funny or clever to say. In fact, he's like, if this was Dungeons and Dragons, which at many points they kind of remind you that it kind of is, like...
I mean, they even mentioned one of the ghosts as a level 6 creature.
Jeff Bridges goes, that's a level 6 cast. It's nothing
I was
to
like,
about.
I'm sorry, which version
and
are you playing?
I got super excited at that point, because I'm like, I want to know all about this right. world. And then we don't get to learn about the world.
But if it was, Ben Barnes would have rolled an 18 on charisma and an 11 on intelligence. Because he's just not that bright, but he sure is good looking. That's a little above average.
Well, 11 sounds either like really high, like above
18 being the top. 11's not fantastic, but it's also not. It's your average American, probably. If you will.
And yeah, meanwhile, Jeff Bridges just crits on that charisma. And that's
yeah, well,
the
Jeff Bridges crits on everything except for maybe sense of smell. He's like Gandalf the Gross, kind
he
of.
He is
you know?
Kind of Gandalf the Gross.
Well, and if I wanted to see 2 hours of Gandalf, I would watch Lord of the Rings.
Oh, well, you know, but that's a very different thing. That's all right. So Lord of the Rings is fantasy with a poetic soul. This Absolutely. Is fantasy with a dice rolling soul. This is a fantasy of just like for kids to go right after the stuff to like, okay, we got to get to these points and we got to have a lot of fun getting there the whole way, but to basically be efficient about it. And yeah. I can respect that. It is no Lord of the Rings. No. but I liked it better than any of the Hobbits.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I was thinking, and realized I like it better.
I know that was going to be a standoff moment there.
No, I guess the biggest difference is that there's no emotional connection at all in this movie, where I feel like you have that. And a lot of that is just the history. We all read The Hobbit when we were kids, you know, all of that. True. But we're not talking about that movie.
But here's the thing. I felt that exact same way about Jupiter Ascending. Because of how bland and uninteresting both Mila Kunis' character and performance were, I didn't have an emotional connection there, and I don't have any here either. I'm not going to say that I do.
I just had fun.
But it doesn't seem like...
This was fun.
It seems like this movie, formulaic, it's following a recipe for very simple but amazingly delicious macaroni and cheese.
That's exactly
Jupiter Ascending is like, I'm going to make a souffle, and then just starts throwing shit into that pan like, no, that doesn't go in there. That
fish
no, you need to,
and peanut butter.
Oh my God, what are you doing?
And chili flakes like,
don't get
lemon
me wrong.
Juice. And,
I admire your ambition, but you are doing it wrong.
That's not how you make a souffle.
So it's like, and one is probably inherently better than the other, whatever. I think it's just a matter of the result. And the result here is that I think this is a really entertaining movie, which, if we're still comparing to Jupiter Ascending, had way better 3D. Oh, my God.
Oh, the 3D was really good.
So much better.
Visually, this is a fun movie.
It kept getting my seat.
I could see this movie.
I was like, things
Well, there were some good scares in it. There were a few moments where... You know, you jumped. Yeah. I jumped twice.
They kept having the dragon go right at the camera. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's too close.
Yeah.
See, and I like that it's dark, too. I like that it's dark fantasy. Like, people get killed in pretty horrible ways. There's some severe shit in this movie. Jeff Bridges gets to drop an F-bomb.
Was a great moment.
It was, because he's just, like, nice mumbling moment. Off to the scene is, like, clearly already over. And I'm like, why is it still going? And then he just goes, fucking widget. I'm like, oh, that's why this scene's still going. Because probably while they were rehearsing, he dropped it, and they were like, keep it in.
I was really worried at one point during this movie, though, specifically for Brian, because there's a scene where you know the city's about to get fucked, and the first person to see the things coming is this dog barking. I was like, run, dog, run!
But you'll notice the dog is the smartest person in the entire village. It goes, F this shit, fuck a lot of this, I'm out of here,
yeah. I mean... It's simple, like I said, to me, simple just isn't always bad if you can make me laugh. And Jeff Bridges repeatedly made me laugh through this. I think it got off to kind of a slow start, admittedly.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It was a little bit of like, where are you guys going with this? It's like, I'm not entirely sold on the story thing here. Bridges is indeed playing that same character we've seen him play incessantly lately, the mumbly marbles in his mouth guy. And we're like, oh boy, here we go again. But it starts building to something that by the halfway point, I was full on with it. I was like, all right, this isn't what I call, high quality. This is something in 20 years that Shout Factory or the equivalent of will re-release and 20-somethings
on laser
time
crystals.
Will go like, oh, I saw this when I was a kid. I remember this movie. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And everybody else will be like, what?
Yeah. No, I will say that I actually did a couple of times have a problem with Jeff Bridges' marble mouth because there were two specific jokes that I was like, what did he say? And then, like, a second later, I was like, I could put the piece together and be like, okay, that kind of sounds like... It was like playing charades. I was like, sounds like two words. Oh, okay, I get the joke now. Because it was like, when he first said it, it was like, brah, 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 brah. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. Jeff Bridges.
You sound like someone from South Park.
Brah, 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 brah.
Or the Hamburglar.
Jeff Bridges as the Hamburglar. Oh, where do we sign? Let's make this happen. I'm his agent now, apparently.
I will. I'm with you, though, Diana, that this could have been so much better of a film if they'd really developed those primary characters, the relationship between these kids.
Especially some of the tragic endings that people, like, certain characters face. Like, I mean, the demise, without any spoilers, the demise of Julianne Moore's character is actually a really deep thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they just kind of, oh, by the way, we're going to do this now. Like, and at the end, I was like, whoa. That's like a heavy concept we just threw at the very last 5 minutes of a really pivotal character, and you're like, whoa, well, wait a minute.
It's like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon when he's running full speed at the cliff and then just can't stop before he goes over.
Well, it's...
That's because the movie's like, at that point, it's just like so kinetic and fun that when they get to that, it's like, oh, God, it's over. I'm sorry.
I liked it conceptually a lot. It's just that it doesn't completely work because the emotional content for it hadn't been built up along the way properly to get us there. But I still went, I admire you guys for making this as a choice of the way to wrap up that whole character's arc in there. It just, like I said, you still don't feel anything.
Yeah, and building on that, they should have committed to one emotional arc because there were like four. There were four that they throw at you. There's the mom and the son. There's the apprentice and his... master, there's the young
millionaire
love story,
and his wife,
and then there's the sisters, and then you're just like, well, which one do I pay attention to and I like invest in? And I don't know, I was just like, well, which one? I literally felt confused as to what the movie wanted me to do, but I did. I mean, I had fun with it. Obviously, I like pretty things and stuff flying in the air and fighting.
Who this doesn't? Movie had that, that's
aww,
for sure.
Dragons, I would have scratched them under their chin.
Oh,
and then get my hand probably bitten off.
So bitten off.
I'm apparently as smart as Ben Barnes' character in this film.
True.
Yeah. Oh, woogie woogie dragon, woogie woogie.
Anyway, you would pet it like a cat.
I totally would. Well, I mean, if it was like How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, that's true. But, Toothless is a cat.
Yeah. Diva, what are your final thoughts on this one?
I think, you know, I did enjoy it. I'm not burning it completely. I don't think it's like a terrible film. I just didn't enjoy it as much as I really wanted to, and I know that when I watch it again, I'm going to be like, really? So I'm going to give it like 5 sibling rivalries out of 10.
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know if I liked it the most here. I think I was really taken for it with this. Brian, you really described it the best. It's that same feeling of like that we got watching those 80s films when they were at their best. Mm-hmm. When you're like, this isn't an all-time great movie, but man, am I with it and what it's doing and having a really good time the whole way. I mean, this movie ain't nothing but witches and gold pieces, yo. I'm going to keep doing this.
No, so. Good. Okay, no, I'm glad. Okay. I'm glad this is a thing.
Fair enough. I love Jeff Bridges in this movie so much that I would watch a sequel even if it was just about him. Like, fuck everybody else in this movie. Jeff Bridges goes on and he retires in L.A. and then there's somebody steals his rug and then he has to use his magic powers to try and get it back.
You want
to
see the cut where he's in it more?
Yes.
The abridged version.
The abridged?
The abridges version.
The abridges version.
Yes.
Beards and bridges.
Yeah. Beards and
bridges. But you know, if they did make a sequel to this, they'd probably make it a prequel. You know they would.
They probably
just
would.
So they could go with the back with the romance factor. And
oh, then they'd get creepy CG young Jeff Bridges from Tron.
Oh, no.
Yeah, from Tron Legacy.
Oh, I said that out loud, didn't I?
You sure did.
Oh, I don't think they'll go like Old Man Logan on Jeff Bridges. Where does he go from here?
No, probably not. They want to get the youth factor. He's not going to hook up with some other apprentice. You know?
It'd be great if he just like he sets up a hovel and he's just like, I think we should just live in peace with the monsters, man. I don't know what all this aggression is about, but it won't stand.
Now say it with marbles.
if they do make a prequel, they can make it where he had his own old, angry, grumpy master. He's played by like Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels and Jeff Bridges in What the Fuck Is This?
What is this? What is happening?
What is this fuckery?
But I ultimately really did have a good time with this movie. I think that, like I said, this is far from a masterpiece, but it is a very definition of an enjoyable popcorn film. I get the feeling, main reason that this came out in February is because there's no way it could stand up against the summer movies. Even though it's that style of movie, it just wouldn't be able to hold up against the onslaught of huge
It would get lost. And instead, now, it's for me, like, and that's not saying it's great, but it is the best thing I've seen in, like, 5 weeks.
For the time of year, that's pretty good.
It's the best film of the year so far.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 mouth marbles.
Mouth marbles. There's this quote that Mike Birbiglia talks about that's attributed to Abraham Lincoln that's kind of a throwaway thing that's like, should he really get credit for general stuff? And it's, whatever you are, be a good one. And I feel like that's exactly what we've got here with The Seventh Son. It's like, is it a great film? No. But it knows exactly what it needs to be, and it does that well. And you can take that for whatever it's worth. I mean, I don't, there's not a lot of lofty ambition. There's no great, like, there's no, like, depth of human, like, experience being plumbed here. It's just, it is silly, spectacle fun, but that's all it wants to be. And for my money, it does it well, and it's enjoyable, and there's monsters. You know what? You know what this feels like? If J.K. Rowling hadn't written books, but written D&D campaigns. That's what, there's like apparating, there's like auras is what essentially Jeff Bridges is. There's like all this stuff that kind of feels Harry Potter-ish. And I'm like, but it's also structured like a D&D campaign. Like, okay, here's the backstory. There was this witch, and once she was in love with a powerful sorcerer, and that didn't end well. So now she's gathered all these monsters that you have to, you know, traverse. You have to go to this village and find a paladin, and then you take him and you fight the first monster, and then you fight this monster, and then you finally get to her, and it's like, yeah, this feels like a D&D campaign. But it's fun. It's really enjoyable, and as far as things to legitimately admire, I think Jeff Bridges does a good job, if a little marbly-mouthed, and Julianne Moore is great as the villain, and the digital effects are actually really fucking good.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Surprisingly.
Really quality.
Yeah, so I think overall I would have to give this 7 out of 10 18-sided die.
Nice. I don't think they make an 18-sided die.
It's 20, I think.
It's a 20-sided die.
Yeah, no,
I'm
it is.
A nerd.
Somebody has never played D&D.
But if you do the math, 7 out of 10 divided by... No, I just fucked up.
Yeah. It's no. Magic. It's oh, okay. Fair enough.
We just got critted by all the D&D fans in the comment section.
Ouch.
Okay, roll savings throw against not knowing what you're talking about.
We failed.